You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm incredibly honoured to bring on to the show Ms. Rasinen, or Päivi Rasinen. She is a Member of Parliament in Finland, and she has the most extraordinary story to share, which cuts to the heart of free speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of association. So, Päivi, if I may be so informal to call you that, welcome to the show. And, well, thank you for talking to us here in New Zealand, because, of course, you're in Finland.
Yes, I am Finland, and I'm so happy and privileged to be in your show now. So thank you for having me.
Before we get into your extraordinary story, which is basically sharing a view and now finding yourself on criminal charges, could you just tell us and listeners a little bit about yourself as a Finnish MP, the roles you've held? Yeah, please tell us a bit about yourself, because I think it makes it even more extraordinary what you are going through at the moment.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so I'm living in Finland in a small town, just 1 hour of our capital, Helsinki, and I have a family. My husband is a pastor of Lutheran Church, and he's a principal of in Bible College theology and doctor, and we have 5 children who are all adults. And I'm also a very, very grateful and happy grandmother of 12 grandchildren. And by my education, I'm a medical doctor, but I have been now in parliament since 1995, so almost 30 years. I have also served as a chair of my party, Finnish Christian Democrats, for 11 years, and I also have been a Minister of Interior of Finland in our government for 4 years. And at that time, I was also in charge of church affairs in government. So now is my 8th term in Parliament. And I'm very grateful for this time, because I feel very I have felt that it has been my calling to serve my country as an MP.
I think it's an incredible role to hold, having been an MP myself for only half the time that you have. But for listeners to understand, Ms. Rasinen's held very senior positions politically, and of course, too, if I might, the important role of mother, grandmother, which is remarkable, which, as I say, makes your situation even more extraordinary. So could you take our listeners through what's been happening to you since effectively 2019?
Yeah. Yes, I have to also add to my introduction that I'm also Christian, follower of Jesus, and I have been open about my faith during my career. It was, in fact, the pro-life issues defending the unborn babies and their lives. It was the main reason to enter to politics originally. And during my career, I have been in many very public debates and rigorous debates in Finland, in Finnish politics. So I think that I'm quite well-known person in Finland, in our country. And yes, the very, very strange criminal process has now lasted over 5 years. In 2019, I was shocked when my church, Finnish Evangelical Lutheran Church, decided to support the Helsinki Pride Parade, Pride event, publicly and even financially. And it was a disappointment to me because it is still not allowed in our church to marry same-sex couples. And I have been from childhood a member of the church, and many of my friends decided to resign the church, and I was also praying. In fact, I was on knees praying, what should I do now? Should I leave the church, or what is the future? And I got a very clear vision that it is not my time to resign the church, but try to speak so with a big voice that those who are in danger in the church because of the false teaching of the leadership of the, of our bishops that can lead astray, especially young people, I have to try to wake up those who are in danger to drawn in that sinking boat that I thought that the church is. So I took a photo from the Bible, from the book of Romans, from its first chapter, verses 24 to 27, where Apostle Paul teaches about same-sex relationships and gives names, shame and sin to these actions, to these deeds. And directed a question to the leadership of the church, to the bishops, that how does this fit to the foundation of the church, the Bible, what you are doing now and stating now. And after that, there became a public debate, and and some citizen made a criminal complaint about the Twitter update, and police started to investigate the case. And it came into public, and then when it came into public, there became more and more criminal complaints and investigations about my writings, even 20 years before this case. I had written a little church booklet about sexual ethics, marriage, and it was named Male and Female, He Created Them, and for the educational purposes of church congregations and so on. So it was strange because I couldn't believe that it can lead to any legal process. But then in fact, at the beginning, when the police did a pre-investigation for this these my texts, he didn't find any crime. But the prosecutor general in Finland ordered the police to continue the investigations. So I have to tell that it was a very, very strange feeling, because then I was quite soon I was sitting in a police station in interrogated about my Christian beliefs. And just some years before, I had been Minister of Interior in charge of the police, and then I was sitting there. I had the Bible on the table, and the police was asking me about very theological issues. He asked that, what is the message of the book of Romans? What is it about in the first chapter of Romans? What do you mean by the word of sin, and so on? And in fact, that at time I was three times in these interrogations, and altogether about 13 hours. There was a joke in our social media that Päivi Räsänen is once again going to have a Bible study on the police station. And yes, I have to say that it felt absurd, because I have seen this in movies in Soviet time, or in Belarus, or in North Korea happening, but I could not believe that this could happen in Finland in my lifetime. So it led to, then the prosecutor decided to file up the charges. And at first I was in the district court, I got acquittal to all three charges that were against me. But the prosecutor decided to appeal it to the Court of Appellate. It was last autumn. And again, I got acquittals. But now the situation is that I am in the process again, because the prosecutor in Finland, he had the opportunity to appeal to the Supreme Court. So I'm now waiting for the trial in Supreme Court. So this process is going on, even though the police didn't find any crime in my writings. It has been about classical Christianity. I have not spoken any hate speech. I have all the time I have said that I believe that all people are equal. We are all created as in image of God, but we are also sinners. And it is God who says what is sin and what is not. Yes, this is shortly the situation now.
I just find I've used the word extraordinary often already, but it is just an extraordinary story. And I just encourage listeners that your tweet is still available. I've seen it. I had to translate it, of course. I don't speak Finnish or the languages, but really just want to assure listeners it's just straight up biblical quote from the book of Romans. And really, just as a theologian myself, I could say it's straight down the line Christian thought. And I might suggest too, if I might, you weren't really making much of a commentary on it. It was just presenting it, but challenging, as you say, a church leadership, Christian leadership, yeah, to say, yeah, how does this scriptural basis fit a decision to join, in this case, the Pride Parade?
Yeah.
And again, I want to really stress this to listeners. This member of parliament, this former minister, is now you're before the courts for a third time. So it feels like you've got almost an activist prosecutor that just won't stop. And I wonder, Pavey, is there an irony here that you put out a view and yet they are more than happy to aggressively, if you will, attack your view? You were causing no harm. You were putting forward an idea, but they've responded very, very aggressively, trying to put you in prison, effectively.
Yes, the law, what is it about? It is the law about agitation against minorities, and it belongs to, I would say, quite severe category of crimes, war crimes and crimes against humanity. And it can bring 2 years, up to 2 years prison or heavy fine. So, yes.
I might just jump in there so that people understand this, that you're not being prosecuted at a civil level, you're being prosecuted criminally.
Yes,
and
yes.
Because I had done a little bit of research, and as you had said, you've been charged under the criminal code for war crimes and crimes against humanity because you,
yes,
insulted a minority group. That is,
yes, yes, that is
beyond, yes, crazy.
Yes, yes, I think so. And in fact, the Twitter update, it was not directed against any minorities. It was a question to the leadership of my church. It was against them, if it is against anyone. And I have been also in our church life, as I have been a member of the council of my own congregation of Evangelical Lutheran Church, and I have been also a member of synod of my church. when I was a minister of also responsible for the church affairs. So I think that it is not only my I do not only have I'm not only allowed to to make this question. I think that I have also responsibility because often as an active church member who have responsibilities of these issues. So
are the authorities suggesting that you are no longer allowed to have, in this case, a Christian viewpoint? Are you no longer allowed to quote from the Bible, or is it more that you're not allowed to believe it? But where are things now in Finland to do with Christian
yes,
belief?
Yes, it is a very good question, because in Finland it is very strange, because we have, I would say, long roots in Christianity in Finland. About 60-70% of Finnish people belong to the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and we have also other churches and denominations that are active in Finland. But at the same time, I would say that our church is very divided. We have also the bishops are quite progressive minded and liberal. And there are also pastors who marry same-sex couples, even that it is not the official doctrine of our church. And we have quite strong LGBT advocates in Finland, and I would say that they have very strongly affected the office of our prosecutor. And for example, when I was in the trial in district court and in the court of appellate, the prosecutor, the state prosecutor, when she questioned me, she very much questioned my theology, my doctrines, and she very clearly stated the very liberal views of Bible, and she took from Bible different passages that I had not even mentioned, and tried to show that these writings from the Bible they are bad speech, and that you can't anymore keep Bible as some kind of basis for doctrines. And see, for example, she said in the court that my view, my doctrine is an international fundamentalist doctrine, which she summoned as love the sinner, but hate the sin. And she said that this kind of doctrine is in itself, it is insulting, it is defaming, because if you condemn an act, you condemn the whole person and keep him or her as inferior to you. This is against common sense. It is against Christian view of man, because I told in court that I have 5 children, and as I raised my children, I had to blame some of them or all of them in sometimes. It never meant that I didn't think that my children are equal and I love them, all of them. So the sin doesn't decrease the value of human beings. We are still equal if we are sinners. And I had the possibility in court and in front of the police tell that we all are created as an image of God, but we all are also sinners and in need of grace, in need of Jesus, who has died for our sins. And but yes, I would say that,
In a strange way, they've sort of provided you a platform to evangelize. But I imagine too, both of us coming out of the Christian tradition, we know that there's a lot of debate and discussion around what Scripture means. And in many ways, and I'm not trying to put words into your mouth, but we accept that there are many views, but we think that all views can be spoken and we'll debate and discuss. But what's happening to you is your viewpoint, which I might add has been pretty much held from the church for 2,000 years, you're now being told you can't say it. You are being banned from thinking and saying a particular viewpoint. It strikes me as like a new blasphemy law against the new modern dogma.
Yes, you are exactly right. And I said many times that this is an important debate and important discussion. And I would be happy to discuss about these issues in seminars or in newspapers, in TV shows and TV programs. But to discuss this about in a criminal court, it is absurd. And in secular court. So, and I think that, yes, I think that the prosecutor, he is not alone, or she, the state prosecutor is a female, and then the prosecutor general is nowadays a man. But I think that they are not alone. There is a quite strong LGBT network that is working there in background, and they are trying to make some kind of precedent of my case, and they are accusing me of hate speech, and they are trying to see if the biblical speech, what Bible teaches, if it would be according in regard to the Finnish law, it would be judged as hate speech. And in fact, also the policeman himself, when he investigated the case, he said that if my speech, if my writings would be banned, then also the Bible should be banned. And
That makes logical sense. I mean, if you are not allowed to quote from the Bible, then the Bible becomes a document that should be censored. And I know this is very much happening in Finland, but logically then the Bhagavata, the Quran and a whole lot of other documents would have to be banned. Surely they can see the paradox, if not the hypocrisy, that they're accusing you of hate speech. Yet to me, the prosecutor and others seem more than happy to be insulting you and your beliefs. Can they not see that they're doing worse to you than anything you've done through your tweets?
Yes, and it is not only me, because I'm not the only one who has spoken this about these biblical issues, biblical truths. We have, even in Finland, we have thousands and thousands of similar writings and sermons and speeches. So if my writings would be banned, then it would mean that those others would be also in danger. So that's why I think that the most dangerous consequence of a possible conviction would be censorship. And I'm that's why I'm so happy for the vindications in the courts, unanimous vindication acquittals from both courts. And I'm praying and I'm working to get also the acquittal from the Supreme Court, because if I would be convicted, I would say it would start a time of persecution of Christians in Finland, because so many Christians and their writings or speeches would be in danger.
It strikes me here on the other side of the world that that's why they are so motivated to get you. As you say, you're one person, granted a member of parliament, yes. A mother, yes. A doctor, but you're one person with a fairly innocuous tweet, but they're going after you so hard, because if they do get a conviction, then, as you say, a whole lot of Christian teaching, and I think it would spread to other religions, would be banned. It would be censored. And it's, you mentioned earlier in passing that this is something you would expect to see in Soviet Russia. And I know Finland's experienced Soviet Russia or North Korea. It's just extraordinary. Have they tried to put you onto counseling courses or arbitration where they want to re-educate you? What they used to call the struggle sessions. I mean, have they tried that? Because they try that in New Zealand and Australia.
Yes, I have heard. Not yet. Not yet. they are trying to give me heavy fines, and then they have the prosecutor has demanded bans to my writings, to the Twitter update, and also to my booklet and radio program. So it has been their aim, but I'm this has been very, very, very unusual in Finland. This is we have not, it is a very historical case. We have not had this kind of case before, and I think that it has had already two kinds of consequences. There are some people who are more afraid to speak. It has had some kind of silencing effect to our society. There have been even pastors who have asked me, they have sent me their sermons that, can I speak this? What do you think that, what are the consequences? But then I would say that because the other side has been that this has given me a lot of chances to testify about Bible and about Jesus and about the core doctrines, core teachings of the Bible. And it has also encouraged many people to speak. So there are also many, many people who have told me that during this process, when they have, because it has been in Finland so so much in our media, it has encouraged them to read the Bible, to read the Book of Romans, and also there are many people who have told that they have found Christ during this process when they have been listening to these radio interviews, and so it has given a lot of joy to me. I think that this has been in some way, it has been in God's hands, and He has used this process. But as you mentioned, we have a long history to be a neighbor of Russia. And I'm so old already that I remember very well the times when we have the Soviet Union as our neighbors. I have many friends who at that time who smuggled Bibles to Soviet and to these communist countries, and also to, for example, to Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. And now I have got support from these countries, for example, from Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania, from Christians who said that at that time, when they were under the communist regime, they got support from Finland because there were Christians who were in legal processes for having Bibles and for teaching Bibles. And now they can see this happen in Finland, who was helping at that time them. So,
well, it's amazing because to New Zealanders, we look at the likes of Finland and Denmark and Sweden. I know you're all very different countries, but we see your countries as very progressive and very liberal. And yet here is this criminal prosecution for having a view. And you mentioned the, we would say here, a chilling effect. People are too scared. And New Zealand has some small but similar laws in particular areas where it's criminal to talk certain value systems. You would go to jail, and it's had a chilling effect. But it strikes me too, Pavey, that this whole process is still like a punishment as well. I know you're talking about a blessing that it's given you an opportunity, but it strikes me that 5 years now dragging you through courts and the media, that they're using the process as punishment even before a conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is, I would say that this is some kind of punishment, even though, as I said, I have many times I have felt that this has been now my time to be in this process. It has been a calling, and I believe that this is in God's hands. It is now time to defend freedom of speech, freedom of faith in Finland and in Europe, and so I'm praying that this would lead to some kind of spiritual awakening in Finland. And it has been so amazing that I have got thousands and thousands of messages that people are praying for me, also from abroad they are praying. So I believe that when people are praying, I'm just waiting that what is going to happen in Finland, because when God wakes up people to pray, he has some plan in his mind. But you are right that this is the other side, is that this has had a chilling effect on some people, and it is some kind of warning sign to people that if you speak, something like that can happen to you. And that's why it is so important what happens in the Supreme Court, because in Europe, in other countries of European Union, there are very similar laws as in Finland about agitation against minorities. So in other European countries, they are also following this case. Because I'm sure that if I would be convicted, the LGBT network, they would attack against other people in other European countries with similar cases if they find that they have been successful in Finland. Yes,
I would say it would happen across the Western. It would come across the Western.
Yes,
world.
But Christians. Yeah. The Christians are also waiting for this case, because I think that if I would be acquitted, then it would be a very strong legal precedent in Finland. And I think that it would give courage to Christians to speak bravely and with courage about Bible and about gospel.
Would I be right to think as well that you would have got support from unexpected quarters? I'm sure within the LGBTIQ community, there'll be those that go, boy, this is too much. Actually, freedom of speech is important. You will have ended up with allies in unexpected places.
Yes, I have got also a lot of support from people without faith, for example, who tell that they are atheists. And also, for example, in our parliament, there are some open gays. And for example, one male parliamentarian who is married to a man, he has very openly supported me. And he says that he disagrees with me about these issues, but he wants to defend my right to speak. And I think that freedom of speech, freedom of faith, it is not only important for Christians, it is important for everyone. It is also important for these minorities, sexual minorities. Everyone needs freedom of speech, and that's why I think that many people in Finland have understood that this case is not only about Christians, it is about everyone.
And that's why I'm incredibly grateful that you've taken the time to talk us through what you're experiencing down here in New Zealand, because you are defending, obviously, a Christian belief, but behind that, two of the most fundamental values of our democracies, which is freedom of speech and freedom of belief. And those are the two that they're, you know, the Finnish prosecutor is going after, and so deeply worrying. So, Päivi, if I can say a genuine thank you for the time, and thank you for what you're doing. You are leading such an important issue in faith, and if you will, in politics, which I think will have repercussions across the Western world, including here in New Zealand. So thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you for having me. It was a great privilege to me.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.